The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. It's a weird thing to break in on yourself like that. It is 4 minutes after the 6 o'clock hour, and you are listening to the KTQA Daily Briefing. My name is Sam. With me is Becky. How are you, Becky?
I'm well, Sam. It's been quite the week and quite the day, which is why we're here at six, right?
Yeah.
On this Friday, May 29th.
There's been a lot going on, both here at home and around the state. So we had to put off the Daily Briefing by about 3 hours and do it in the 6 o'clock hour, which is what we're doing right now. There's a lot of news, so why don't we, any interesting educational stuff that you want to talk about? Is it, like, 2 liter bottle day or something like that?
No, I don't have any of the funny days of going on today. I was just busy trying to keep up with everything, because, you know, the stay at home, stay healthy order, was set to expire this weekend, and So we were all waiting for whether it would be extended or how, and so that's what we got today. But I should probably start with our normal ways that we start our briefings.
Sure.
Because state-level updates on COVID-19 can be found in multiple languages online at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Health department officials are staffing that coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week at 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can also now text the coronavirus hotline at 211-211 in any language, and dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through United Way. You can visit wa211.org online as well.
All right, moving on to state-level information. There is a lot here, so forgive me as I go through this slowly and deliberately to make sure I get everything right. Washington State has conducted 348,233 COVID-19 tests that reflect polymerase chain reaction, or PCR tests, which measure whether the coronavirus is active in the body. The positive rate is 6.1% and excludes tests that occur on military bases. Employers of agricultural workers will now be required to provide facial coverings for employees who are not working alone, and to install portable hand washing stations to be placed within 110 yards of employees working outside at all times. Nursing home and assisted living facilities with memory care units will be required to offer tests to all residents by the end of June. All nursing home staff must be tested as well, regardless of whether they present with respiratory symptoms or fever. Starting Monday, the governor's stay-at-home order expires, and all counties in Washington can apply to the state secretary of health to move to the next phase of reopening businesses under new criteria, including fewer than 25 COVID-19 cases per 100,000 population over 14 days, a change from prior guidelines that required fewer than 90 cases, or 10 new cases. That would have been 90 new cases in a two-week period for Pierce County, I think is where that 90 number was coming from.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, all right. Flat or decreasing hospitalizations for confirmed COVID-19, hospitals at filled to less than 80% capacity, increased testing capacity, three or fewer outbreaks reported per week for large counties. That's a rash of outbreaks, correct? That's not like individual.
Right. Outbreak is considered people outside the home. I think it's three or more people outside of a particular household that are epidemiologically related to each other.
Okay. Pierce County Executive Bruce Damier plans to apply on Monday for Phase 2 designation. Never sure about his last name. June 3rd is the earliest some eligible counties could move into Phase 3 of reopening. The governor also released a Phase 1 modification that enables Phase 1 counties to permit the following: outdoor restaurant dining at 50% capacity, outdoor recreation and fitness with up to 5 people from different households, plus an instructor, in-store retail with up to 15% capacity. In a little more than 1 week, employers will be required to provide facial coverings, and all workers throughout the state who have in-person interactions will be required to wear masks. Moving on, the Washington State Parks and Recreation Commission, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the Department of Natural Resources announced that campsites in 22 counties will reopen on Monday, June 1st. State park group campsites, cabins, yurts, and other overnight accommodations remain closed until further notice, but campers may view open sites and make reservations at parks.state.wa.us. The list of open fish and wildlife campgrounds and open areas is available at wdfw.wa.gov. DNR-managed campsite information can be found online at dnr.wa.gov. The DNR site will also give info on burn bans, and if campfires are permitted, they may only occur in approved fire rings. So there's a lot of information here. Again, you can go to daily.ktqa.org, where all of this information is posted with the episode, and you just click on the title of that day's episode, and it will take you to exactly the briefings that I'm reading to you here. Canada has banned cruises with more than 100 passengers through at least October 31st, and small cruises through at least July 31st. Due to international agreements where non-U.S. flagged cruises to Alaska must stop in Canadian ports, this ban has officially axed the Alaska summer cruise season for the year.
Let's move to Pierce County news, if we can. The food distribution networks in Pierce County will be seeking 200 to 300 younger-aged volunteers at the end of June in order to sustain distribution and deliveries to needy individuals once the current National Guard mission concludes. Typically, 3/4 of food bank volunteers are senior citizens who are among those most at risk of complications from COVID-19. So interested volunteers can contact, we've got three different organizations, the Emergency Food Network online is found at efoodnet.org, Nourish Pierce County is found at nourishpc.org, and St. Leo's Food Connection is at foodconnection.org.
Okay.
Want me to continue with Tacoma?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and take Tacoma.
All right. We do have some Tacoma news related to COVID-19 because at noontime tomorrow, May 30th, clergy from across Pierce County plan to line Martin Luther King Jr. Way between South 5th Street and South 27th Street in a prayer demonstration to bring awareness to the way COVID-19 has disproportionately impacted individuals from Pacific Islander, Hispanic, and Black communities. A rally in People's Park is expected to take place afterwards, with participants and observers encouraged to wear masks and abide by social distancing protocol. So don't be surprised if you see folks out tomorrow. And throughout the weekend, I imagine we might see folks out and about for a variety of reasons.
Absolutely. So there is a lot going on, and there are a lot of updates today because that original June deadline is fast approaching, and there may be some stuff we missed or even some information that may have been released after we record at 6 p.m. If something like that happens and it's, you know, important enough to get to you guys, we'll either post an update to this recording or issue another recording. And so that's the plan here. Otherwise, we're going to go into our usual weekend mode where we monitor the situation. But otherwise, we don't do the daily briefing. So that's pretty much where we're at right now, right?
That is where we're at. But we do have an interview for today.
Oh, we definitely do have an interview for today. Also, yeah, I guess you and I are going to have to talk offline about how and when we wrap up the show and what we put in this time slot.
Exactly.
So I haven't mentioned yet, but the first of the month also we'll be introducing a brand new schedule to KTQA, and so look out for that. Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, or you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Now on to today's interview.
I'm so excited to finish out this week's rounds of interviews, really focusing on sound outreach. Today, I've got Tim Jumper with me. He's the Community Engagement Manager for Sound Outreach. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you, Becky. Great to be here.
It is great to have you here. Now, I did ask your colleagues earlier in the week for their perspective on what sound outreach is, but from a Community Engagement Manager perspective, what is sound outreach?
Sound Outreach is a nonprofit. We're located at 1106 MLK Jr. Way in the Hilltop area of Tacoma. And we just provide, you know, Pierce County residents with ways to improve their life in a really judgment-free, very encouraging environment. Our offices are closed right now, but our team's working diligently in the same fashion that we always do, just to make sure that people have access to the resources that they're looking for. So I kind of look at Sound Outreach as a really strong community support system.
I hear that community support a lot throughout all of the threads of the interviews we've been doing. And I really like that you talk about judgment-free because, you know, sometimes when, especially when you're talking about finances, there can be a lot of self-judgment and a lot of folks are thinking, you know, oh man, this is something that's a mark against me. Who's going to want to help me? I'd made some past, you know, bad choices. So I really like that judgment-free environment that you guys really stress. What about you?
We really try to meet people where they are.
What about you in particular? I mean, what drew you to be working with Sound Outreach? I also understand that you're kind of new to transitioning into community engagement manager, and you've held some other positions within the org.
I started at Sound Outreach about 4 years ago as an employment coach and the director of our Hilltop Center for Strong Family. And then, like you said, I've kind of moved to a position as the manager of community engagement. But over the course of those 4 years, I just really feel like I've kind of become a part of the Hilltop landscape. You know, when I walk down to MLK, I can see clients who I've built relationships with, provided services for, just people I've kind of, you know, worked hand in hand with to do my part in helping to make their lives more stable, more prosperous.
That prosperity is something that sometimes can feel a little bit elusive, especially with, you know, property prices, rental rates going up so much around Tacoma in general, but then especially in the Hilltop, where historically prices have been very, you know, low and affordable rents have been really accessible to lots of folks, whether they're students, whether they're, you know, generations of families living in the Hilltop. So I imagine that the Center for Strong Families does involve itself in some of those challenges. But can you talk a little bit about what you guys have been doing?
Yeah, no, it's exactly what it's exactly like you said. You know, a lot of times when I try to describe the Center for Strong Families, the best way is to kind of, you know, just use four words. I always use financial stability and economic mobility. So it is a great tool that we're using to, you know, try and disrupt poverty in the Hilltop area primarily, like you said. But Center for Strong Families as a whole is based on research from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and really the goal is to advance economic opportunities for families and individuals by using a proven program model called integrated service delivery or bundled services. Some people think of it as a one-stop shop, but the three legs of that Center for Strong Families stool that we use are financial coaching, employment counseling, and income support. And the financial counseling piece looks like, you know, creating budgets, doing financial health assessments, pulling credit scores for people, helping them to improve those credit scores, really providing people with access to credit products. And then when you pivot towards the employment coaching, that's resume work, that's mock interviews, job search, you know, employment, you know, pushing people towards employment and training programs. And then the income supports is more, you know, kind of just screening individuals, making sure that they get all the benefits that they qualify for so they can, you know, kind of use their finances to add back to their bottom line, helping them to do things like, you know, increase their income, decrease their debt, and then at the same time improve those credit scores.
It's really nice to hear. You know, our listeners will know that I am a public school educator, and we've in the world of education been talking lots about wraparound services, you know, that a school is more than just teaching curriculum, but schools increasingly are involved in making sure that families have food and that kids have access to, you know, washing machines and that they have housing stability. And so it's nice to hear Center for Strong Families looking at integrated service delivery or those bundled services as a way, you know, what maybe once young people are out of the school purview, right? And maybe they don't have kids yet within schools that offer wraparound services. And so there's sort of like that graduated level for folks in the community as well.
Absolutely.
I am curious a little bit more about sort of in your transition to community engagement and what that looks like. And then especially now that you said the offices are currently closed, you know, because we're all under the stay-at-home order. We're still in phase one in Pierce County. But what are things looking like in terms of community engagement or in terms of your services under COVID-19?
Wow, that's a great question. So, you know, with the Center for Strong Families model in general that we've adopted through working with our partners at United Way, Pierce County, it's kind of taught us how to work together and effectively collaborate with community partners. And all that work feels like a perfect transition to my new role as community engagement manager. So now I'm helping Sound Outreach to partner with other community-based organizations to try and increase our effectiveness, to add value, and to build capacity to serve more clients. And we work with a lot of great local credit unions and training providers and Pierce County Community Engagement Task Force and various CBOs, you know, community-based organizations like Goodwill and WorkSource. Got a lot of great employment partners like Corsmo Construction. So we're kind of pulling all those resources together to, like I said, you know, kind of do business as usual. But, you know, during COVID-19, we've kind of been in a little bit more of a crisis response mode. So now we're doing things. We've kind of moved all of our offerings, you know, to virtual. So now we offer, you know, one-on-one employment coaching appointments. You can schedule one-on-one financial counseling appointments. We've got a website full of great resources to help with things like utility assistance and rental assistance. We're producing some videos and webinars on a lot of helpful topics. A couple of them are like things like establishing your value in a volatile job market. We've got credit collections and coaching. We've got long-term financial planning in a short-term crisis, lots of others. So you can find all of those, you know, kind of virtual offerings on our website at www.soundoutreach.org.
And I imagine that during typical times, since all of those services are offered free of charge to the clients and the folks seeking the help, those things right now are still free of charge, even though we're accessing them virtually. Is that the case?
Absolutely, free of charge.
So as community engagement manager, do you see yourself more as engaging, like what parts of the community are engaging? Are you engaging potential clients and folks that you're reaching out to, or are you engaging the community-based organizations? Is it a mix of everything?
Yep, it's a big mix of everything. I mean, we go to, you know, community roundtables. Like I said, we do a lot of great work partnering with other organizations who are part of those collectives that we're talking about. And we do a lot of, you know, shared learning and best practices and kind of figure out who are, you know, good relationships to get into, you know, with other organizations, whether we're going to contract and embed a financial coach in other facilities or, you know, like I said, it kind of just runs a really wide gamut, but it's kind of like just wrapping your arms around the community and, you know, kind of understanding what people need and just learning to, you know, kind of break down those silos and, you know, kind of work together in an effort to kind of just put things on track and to help as many, you know, clients as we possibly can.
Well, in helping as many clients as you possibly can, have there been any specific programs that, you know, maybe you want to highlight?
We have a lot of really good programs. Something that's kind of new and exciting is, you know, what we're calling our Back on Track Review for Employment. So if your employment situation has been impacted by COVID-19 and you need some guidance on how to get back on track, we can help with our team of employment coaches. We'll work with you on your resume to help you land a job in this time of social distancing when things are so different. If you've been furloughed or laid off or just want to be more intentional about the direction that your career is heading in, we can definitely help with that. So all you have to do is call, schedule a time to get that done. And like I said, one of our employment coaches or financial coaches would love to get you on the phone and kind of walk through step by step what that process looks like.
And in your work, Tim, over the last 4 years in various different positions, I imagine that you've had some really potent success stories. And maybe without betraying the privacy or confidence of individuals that you've worked with, is there anything that sticks out to you?
We had a couple of success stories that we were talking about earlier in the week. I can give you a couple. So, for example, we'll call our client number one. She was a single mother who needed help with employment. So she called. I learned all about her skill set. I found out that she had a background of being an estimator with a lot of sales and blueprint experience. So I connected her with one of our employment partners called True Edge Construction, who's a Corsmo Construction subcontractor. They're one of the employment partners that I work closely with. And they were looking for some Section 3 income qualified employees. And she ended up being a perfect fit. We did a little coaching, interviewed her. They hired her, and she started about a week ago. So that was a big success. We're also helping her with her unemployment claim that she was having some trouble with. She finally got that approved. And we also assigned her a financial counselor. So that was one pretty good success story. Another one that comes to mind is a gentleman that I was working with a couple of days ago. He came through our Center for Strong Families program a little while ago. He started a profitable hauling business, and now he's looking to give back to the community by picking up and delivering groceries for seniors during COVID-19. So he's also fundraising to help add more value to his deliveries. So I connected him with one of our Center for Strong Families participants and our supervisor, who's over at the Tacoma Farmers Market. Now they're discussing kind of a partnership where they're going to add a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables to his deliveries that he's making, out of the goodness of his own heart. So I thought those were two good success stories that have recently happened with clients at Sound Outreach.
I'm just really enjoying sort of seeing these connections, because on KTQA Daily Briefing, we've, obviously this week talked with you and your colleagues with Sound Outreach, but then also looking at, business owners and the Tacoma Farmers Markets. And so I'm seeing all these threads of the community really coming together. And it seems like Sound Outreach is definitely there connecting with those threads that just are woven throughout the community. Tim, is there a way besides soundoutreach.org that folks can get in touch with you or employment coaches or wanting to learn more about the organization, maybe if they're not so connected to the internet? Is there a phone number that's currently being answered?
There are a lot of people with virtual challenges right now. So I would say that if you needed to contact us directly, a good phone number would be 253-593-2111.
Well, thank you so much. And I know that we often will repeat that community-wide resources through United Way can be reached just by straight up dialing 211. So I'm certain that, if there's something that maybe Sound Outreach can't help with, 211, folks, volunteers might be able to reroute and refer folks to other programs and organizations. And if people dial 211, then they might actually be routed to you guys.
Yep, we are very familiar and very connected to 211. That's exactly right.
Well, Tim, is there anything else that you'd like to share with KTQA listeners today?
I'm just, kind of looking forward to getting back to a space where we can, kind of work more directly with clients and, kind of just encouraging those clients to come on in. You're having a hard time, with your path forward, just reach out to us and we can definitely help. I think it's great to just let people know that they have an advocate in the community, like you said, who can kind of, show them that they don't need to reinvent the wheel, but there are systems in place to help them, in their journey of moving forward.
Tim, thank you so much for joining me today on KTQA Daily Briefing.
Hey, thank you, Becky.
Tim Jumper is a community engagement manager for Sound Outreach.
Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, or you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Unless we have some updates for you, we will talk to you on Monday.
KTQA LP 95.3, Tacoma.